is de laatste zondag van oktober, maar het wordt een bijzondere zondag, want we hebben vandaag als gast Donna Schuller, de vrouw van dominee Robert Anthony Schuller. En Donna Schuller is volop bezig met handen en voeten de grote opdracht van heb je naaste lief vorm te geven. Daarover gaat ze zometeen vertellen. En verder in Hour of Power, Candace Cameron Bure. Zij speelde een hoofdrol in de hitserie Full House. Die eindigde overigens in 1995, maar wordt nog steeds in 100 landen over de hele wereld, zo ook in Nederland, herhaald. En ze vertelt wat zij echt gevonden heeft en wat voor haar van waarde is. En dan in de Crystal Cathedral Daniel Rodriguez. En als we het woord Daniel Rodriguez zeggen, dan zeggen we tegelijk onze kerstconcerten in december, waar heel veel belangstelling voor is. Zometeen ziet u meer over die kerstconcerten in dit programma, maar we zijn blij met de enorme belangstelling. Tijd om naar de Crystal Cathedral te gaan. En dat doen we dan ook nu.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
I'm Robert Schuller. I'm one of the pastors here. In fact, I'm the senior pastor here at the Crystal Cathedral, and it's my opportunity to welcome you here, and we're glad you came. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to welcome those who are standing next to you, around you. Would you please go out of your way and shake two or three hands and say, God loves you, and so do I. So would you please join me now for a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God of grace and a God of love. You're a God who touches us where we need to touch the most. You're a God who comes and embraces us and helps us through the toughest of times. And so we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to stand here and worship you. We love you, Lord. Amen. Now let's continue by singing All Creatures of Our God and King.
may be seated. Now hear the word of the Lord.
O Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit up, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Oh, Lord, why, that's the truth. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. May God bless these wise, wonderful words. Amen.
Sing with us.
Thank you, Don Newland, and thank you, choir. My guest is Candace Cameron Bure. Well, she became very famous for her role as DJ in the hit series Full House until the series ended in 1995. To this day, the show continues to be a hit, still airing in over 100 countries around the world. Fantastic. Now, in the midst of child stardom, Candace Cameron found her faith in Jesus Christ. She'll tell us about that. She's now raising a wonderful Christian family. She's married to NHL hockey star Valerie Bure and is the proud mother of three children. She's currently co-starring with Randy Travis, who's been here, in a Christian movie, The Wager. Welcome with me, Candace Cameron Bure. I must be getting old because mothers of three children never looked like they were 18 or 19.
Thank you. Good genes, my parents. I owe it to them.
Well, you're a remarkable story. To begin with, you know, why do you think your program has been so successful? My grandchildren love you. They're watching you.
I think because it held good, wholesome family values. And especially today, there aren't that many shows on. But new shows that hold those values, and I think it will be one of those never-ending television shows as long as people are having children and want something good to watch.
So many of child stars, what happened to them?
Well, we hear all the stories. A lot of them get mixed up in drugs and alcohol, and they are given so much at such a young age that they kind of don't know what to do with themselves, and they go for it all. And I kind of led just the opposite life. I started going to church when I was 12 years old, and I was raised in a very moral family, a good family, but not necessarily Christian family. But I did know who Jesus was at 12, and I had given my life over to him. But through my teenage years, God became less and less important to me. The longer I was on the show and doing things, there were just other things that were more important to me. And it wasn't until I had children of my own that I started questioning God again and who he was and how I wanted to raise my children. And what I realized was that because I had led such a good life and a moral life, I didn't see my need for God. I thought I was doing it very well on my own. And it wasn't until I was shown the Ten Commandments and through the mirror of the Ten Commandments reflected the sin in my heart. I thought I was so good because I wasn't doing drugs or an alcoholic. So I thought the little sin that I was doing in my life wasn't anything compared to the big sin that other people were doing, and that I was using God's forgiveness as a license to live my life the way I wanted to. And when I saw the filth in my own heart and realized that God holds a higher moral standard than the world does, I saw my need for him. I saw my need for Christ. And it was at that point, through the gratitude of what Christ did on the cross for me, did I want to live a life that was pleasing for him. I wanted to walk the walk and live my life every day for him.
How did you do that? Did you kneel down? Did you talk to him? Was it gradually talking to him day after day?
It was gradual in the beginning. He had prepared my heart with all these questions I was asking and slowly getting the answers. And there was that moment I was in my couch in the living room, and when I saw myself for what I was before a holy God and saw my offense for him, I was on my knees and I asked for forgiveness and prayed and cried out to him. And I said, God, please don't ever let this fire and this passion that I have for you right now ever disappear. And I want to live every day for you, no matter what the cost.
And how has he kept that promise? How has he kept that spirit in you?
He's been amazing. As long as I'm faithful to engage in a relationship with him, he never leaves. It's always me if something fades. But he's been so wonderful. My husband was not a believer when we got married. And when I had this passion and fire, when it all came together for me, there was nothing I wanted more than to share this with my husband and for him to know Christ the way I now knew him. But in my enthusiasm, I kept talking about God and talking and talking and talking. My husband finally looked at me one day and he said, "Candace, it's great. I understand that you're trying to have me or get me to a place where you are with your relationship with God, but you are turning me off. You're preaching at me and you're making me take two steps back."
Wow.
And I had no idea I was doing that. And it was the last thing I wanted to do. And I went into my bedroom and I knew that there was a verse in the Bible. I knew that there was a promise. And I found 1 Peter 3:1 that said, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, and that even if they do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." So it was at this point where I said, "Lord, I can do this. I can show him who you are without my speaking a word. I can show him through my conduct." And I prayed faithfully for my husband's salvation from that day forward, and prayed that he would one day be the spiritual leader of our household. And I just at that time walked a walk to be a godly wife and an excellent wife and a wonderful mother to my children. And I started working on me and having God show me where I needed to go that would eventually lead my husband to Christ. And I'm so blessed and thankful to say that 2 years after that day, my husband did give his life to the Lord, loves the Lord, and is a believer. And, you know, God holds his promises. We don't know what the timing is always. Might be a lot longer than that, but he is faithful.
What message would you like to tell the whole world that's watching us? What would you like to tell those fans in these other countries?
You know, I know most of you know me from television and being an actress, and that is a wonderful part of my life, but it is not who I am. I'm a follower of Christ, a believer in Jesus, and I want to be known for that, first of all, and to be known as a good wife and a good mother, and those are the most three important things in my life. And all the acting is just a wonderful added bonus, but I hope that I will leave my mark in this world as those first three things that I mentioned.
I want to predict something. I predict that you will be as successful as a mother and wife all your life as my wife has been to our 5 children. They all respect her. They love her. They thank God for her. All 5 have been raised in the church happily and are in some form of ministry. None of them got into the things they could have when they went to public schools, like drugs and promiscuous sex. They're all like you. And you will be fantastic in your faith. I'm praying for you now as I'm looking into those 2 eyes that are swimming in a beautiful, shallow pool of happy love water.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
In the morning of my life, I shall look to the sunrise. At the moment in my life, when the world is new, and the blessing I shall ask is that God will grant me to be brave and strong and true, and to fill the world with love my whole life through, and to fill to fill the world with love, and to fill the world with love my whole life through. I shall look to the sunset. At that moment in my life, when the night is due, and the question I shall ask, only God can answer. Was I brave and strong and true? Did I fill the world with love, my whole life through? Did I fill the world with love? Did I fill the world with love? Did I fill the world with love? My whole life.
En dat was Daniel Rodriguez, die weer komt zingen op onze kerstconcerten, waar ongelooflijk veel belangstelling voor is. En het lied is getiteld Fill the World with Love. Vul de wereld met liefde. Nou, als iemand dat in de praktijk brengt, dan is dat Donna Schuller, de echtgenote van Robert Anthony Schuller. En Donna, good morning.
Good morning.
So happy that you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Fill
Thank you.
Fill the world with love. Mm-hmm. Serve your neighbor. What does it mean to you, and how do you bring that in practice?
Well, you know, Jan, I think God made me a very practical person, so I think it's very important to learn. It's very important to learn the Bible. There's so many people that can recite Scripture just off the top of their head, list one after another, after another, after another, and that's a good thing. There's time for that, but I like to be, like I said, more practical. I like to put my faith into action. So it's just the way God made me. I'm a very active person. I think I've told you before, I'm sort of hyperactive, actually. And so for me, it's fun. You know, it comes naturally to serve people, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, right? Because we have to do something about our faith. It's not just enough to learn and to know and to be able to recite Scripture. I think we have to go and live it. And for that, my favorite book of the Bible is James, you know, the New Testament.
It's a wonderful book. But what did you do with your hands the last years?
Well, there's a couple of things. The most recent, should I start with the most recent
yes.
and go backwards? Okay. The most recent thing we're doing is we have a big, big initiative in China. And one of the things we'll be doing very shortly, part of my family, my husband and I, and a couple of our kids will be going to China. We'll be distributing wheelchairs to people that can't walk. And some of these people have never been able to walk. It's not just the little children. It's for some older children, some older adults that maybe have been housebound. And, you know, China is a very huge nation, of course, 1.3 billion people. And there are many, many poor people there that live on less than a dollar a day. So we will be delivering wheelchairs, and over the next several years, we'll be helping in an orphanage, we'll be helping in a school, we're helping to provide clean water by looking for wells, and the ministry, this is a big initiative, like I said, it's going to take several years to accomplish everything, but so far, we're on our way, and we're doing a good job with wheelchairs, and
but you're a very practical woman, you see.
Yes.
And so your work with your hands, you have
yes.
been part of a building project and building houses.
I have. I've been right after my husband.
So with a hammer in your hand?
Yes,
hammer.
I did that.
Wow.
That's one of the things I've done.
Wow.
That was 2 years ago now, I believe. Yeah, 2 years ago, because it was right after Hurricane Katrina, the horrible hurricane on the coast of the United States. You know, after it hit New Orleans, Louisiana mostly. So after that, a friend of mine, Linda Fuller, you know, she started Habitat for Humanity with her husband and now the Fuller Center for Housing. And so she called me and said, you know, you might want to do something like this, Donna. I know you'd like, you know, working with your hands. So I got a group of women from the Crystal Cathedral, and we went there for a week. Basically, we learned a lot about building a house. Our group framed it. We did everything from nothing. We started from the foundation and built it until the wooden frame was up, and we did that in 5 days. Then we left, and then we had other groups coming in all summer long, and they finally finished it, I think, after a few months. So I did that. And then another thing lately, what we've been doing recently, is there's some local homes. We're very close to the Crystal Cathedral. One of them, my son Bobby, has worked in for some time, he and his church, The Gathering. It's Isaiah House, and it's a transition. It's sort of a homeless shelter, actually. It's overnight accommodations for people that lost their home. And there's little children there, and there's husbands and wives. Most of these people work. But they, even though they work, they can't afford an apartment, a house, a condominium, nothing. So I started doing that with my son Bobby and his wife and their church. And since then, I have found out there's a lot of great places just like that, but a little bit different, all in our area. So I've been with a woman that started a home for abused people and also for prostitution. That is just within 3 miles of the church. And this is only a 16-bed home. And so I'm going to be helping with her a little more.
When I look into your eyes, if you permit me to say so, mm-hmm. I see Christ shining through mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's a very good compliment.
That's what you want to do?
That's what I want to do. Yeah, I feel that. I feel a lot of love for people. I always have, my whole life. Yeah. I'm very touched by people's stories. I'm very touched by people's hardships. I think everybody has a hardship. Everybody has a special story. We just don't know it.
It touches you, right?
It touches me, yeah, because if you take time to be with a person and you talk to them and you get to know their background, there's always some hurt there somewhere along the line. Some are worse than others. And usually if you meet somebody that pretends like nothing is wrong, there's usually something. You know, and so if you can just take the time, you know, we're all so busy. I think everybody in the world, we are so busy doing. So that, I think that's why I like to take time to have hands-on projects. Yeah.
Many women are hurting, mm-hmm. also in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. because of family circumstances, mm-hmm. because of pressure of society. You have to be beautiful from the outside, mm-hmm. And probably broken from the inside. Mm-hmm. We get many letters to Hour of Power mm-hmm. from people, that, especially women that write to us. What would you say? How can you change?
Well, I think, you know, it's easy for me to say, but it was a difficult journey for me as well. A lot of women haven't had a good role model, maybe of a father or maybe later as a husband in their life. They've had a problem there, or even a boyfriend when they're young women. But they need to make God, to make Jesus Christ their Father, their Heavenly Father. And they need to start depending on Him. They need to start learning about His love for them. And that's...
When you don't know real love, how yeah. can you find love, the love of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
You have to find it through other people. Because we live in a physical world. So you find it from other people. You surround yourself with other Christians. You find mentors. You find other women that have been through tough times and that have come out the other side. And you get together with them, and they can teach you. I think that's the way. And through prayer. Through prayer. Because God speaks to us through prayer.
Together with your husband, you had this important ministry with a worldwide mm-hmm. outreach. You talked about hardships. It, mm-hmm. it must be joy and a tremendous joy, but also behind the scenes, you must work hard. And what do you need? Can we pray for you? And what can we pray for you and your husband?
Sure. Continue to pray that we would stay humble, that we would always listen to God's calling for us, and we would always do what Jesus wants us to do. That's very important. I think a lot of people, when they become successful, and I don't mean successful in a monetary sense, but when they become successful in whatever they do in life, sometimes they lose their focus and they start thinking it's all about themselves. and they forget the big picture, that it's not about us, right? It's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about my husband, but it's about making a difference in the world. And we know that Christ is the center of our ministry and that Christ is the center of our life. And I think that's what you can pray for, that we would always keep Christ at the center of our life, at the center of our family. And with that, nothing can go wrong. Nothing.
Wonderful. Thank you. You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
May God richly
bless you. You too.
En wat moet ik nog naar deze indrukwekkende woorden zeggen? Christus als het centrum van je leven en daaruit handelen. En dat doet Donna ook. En ik hoop dat vooral vrouwen geïnspireerd zijn door deze fantastische vrouw die achter haar man staat. En ik zie het zelf ongelooflijk meewerkt binnen alle bedieningen van de Crystal Cathedral. En daar gaan we nu naartoe.
It's my pleasure to invite you to the traditional Christmas concerts of the Hour of Power. We are now in our fourth year, and you're going to be enjoying uplifting Christmas music of beloved artists. Our special guests are good friends of the Christ Cathedral, American tenor Daniel Rodriguez and Jimmy Earl Perry. They will perform together with your very own Sharon Kipps. Incredible music. You'll experience the beautiful sounds of a live orchestra and a big choir sharing your favorite Christmas music. So come to one of the six concerts throughout the Netherlands beginning December 13th. We look forward to connecting with you and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ together. Last Sunday, I asked a question, or I made a statement. And the statement I made was, when you think you have all the answers, you don't. This morning, I have another statement I wish to make. And the statement I wish to make this morning is, when you think you're all alone, you're not. Now, I'm going to read today from John 14, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The words of Jesus Christ to us, relevant for us today and forever. The real. Jesus said this during his Last Supper. It was the night he was arrested. And within 24 hours of making this statement, along with several other teachings that he gave, he was arrested, he was imprisoned, he was crucified, and he was buried. These are the statements and the setting upon which the statement is made. And Jesus knows what he is saying. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. Now, it was only 3 days earlier, on a Tuesday of the same week, that Christ made this statement to us. The statement was very clear and precise. What are the commands that we are supposed to adhere to from God? And Jesus said it is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That is the summation of the commands of God. And the second is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we have been called to do. If you're feeling alone today, if you're feeling lonely, if you feel like you're far away from God, it's really quite simple to get back to Him. Jesus says it this way: keep my commands. Love God and love others. And so if you want to feel closer to God, the first thing you can immediately do is find ways to be able to express the love that God has for you by loving others. C.K. Barrett, one of the tremendous scholars of the 20th century, said this. He said, John never allowed love to develop into a sentiment or an emotion. Its expression is always moral and is revealed in obedience. Let me say it again. John never allowed love to devolve into a sentiment or an emotion. Its expression is always moral and is revealed in obedience. And as such, God expects us to express love in obedience to His commands to love others. So what does that mean? Well, as a congregation, as a church, that means we find ways to be able to make a difference in our community. And we've looked and discovered that there's a tremendous need in our school system today for reading programs, and for tutoring, and for helping after-school programs. Because of the budget cuts that have taken place in our community, in Garden Grove here, in fact, we're doing this currently at Lamson Elementary School. We have a reading program now for the young people there to encourage them to read. And we give bicycles away as an incentive to encourage these young people to read. And we're doing that. And the other thing we're doing is we're creating a tutor mentoring program for these same young people, because after school, they don't have after school programs anymore. Their parents are working, they're going home to a dark house, and they're getting in trouble, and they're failing school. So we're creating a tutoring program to help the kids not only be entertained after school and taken care of, but to learn and to get good grades. And as they get good grades, they get accepted into colleges, and suddenly their self-esteem is enhanced and they do something with their lives and we make a difference. And that's what the church is here to do, and that's what the church is all about, making a difference in people's lives. And this ministry is not just a local congregation, but it's an international ministry with offices around the world in Hong Kong and Russia, in Australia and Switzerland, in Germany. I could go on, New Zealand and Canada. I could go on. And as a result, we have obligations to the world. And that's why we have our China initiative, where we're bringing possibility chairs, wheelchairs, to people who cannot walk, who are disabled, who do not have the freedom of mobility, to people who make less than a dollar a day, to people who can never afford a wheelchair. And we're continuing to bring water to communities that don't have clean drinking water. We're providing educational opportunities to young people and children in that community that don't understand what that is. We're reaching out and we're doing what Christ has called us to do, to love one another. Sharing the love of Jesus Christ in a pure, beautiful, honest, demonstrative way. Because love goes beyond just an emotion and a feeling. It was never devolved to that. Not in the Bible. Instead, it is always moral and revealed in obedience. If you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling far from God, find a way to love your neighbor. Anything. If you need help with that, you can come here. We can help you do that, because that's what we're all about. If you love me, keep my commands, said Jesus, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. God will give you an advocate. In the King James Bible, they called it a counselor. In the different translations, they refer to a comforter and an intercessor. And whenever you read a bunch of different translations and they have a different word for one word, that's an opportunity for you to become an etymologist. You know what an etymologist is? That's a person who studies words. And this is a really good word in the Bible to study. The word in Greek is paraclete. That's what it means. It's paraclete. And when you go and you study the word, any single one of those words would qualify, because it's one of those very difficult words to translate. And therefore, different translators will choose a different word in an attempt to create a translation. Now, let me tell you from my Greek experience what paraclete means. Someone who is called in for their expert opinion or advice. How about that? Here's the food for thought. A paraclete, or the one that Jesus Christ is going to send us, the comforter, the advocate, in some ways can be looked at as this whole text in some ways can be looked at almost in a trial kind of a fashion. How many people ever watch court TV or watch different trials on television? Hopefully that's as close as you have to get. Okay? Hopefully that's as close as you have to get. If you have to go to a trial, it is not a fun thing. And if you have to go to court, it is not a fun thing. But what happens in trials, and I don't know this from personal experience, mind you, I only know this from watching it on television, is that the lawyers will call in their experts and their witnesses. And the experts will begin to testify about certain things. And the witnesses will say what they saw. And at the end of the trial, the judge makes a conclusion after hearing all these people who were called in. as to what actually took place. And in some ways, I think this is much the same thing. Jesus Christ, remember, knows that within 24 hours, he's going to be tried by Pontius Pilate, by Herod. And he's going to be condemned. And the only experts that are coming in on his defense is himself. I tell you the truth, he says. I tell you the truth. At the same time, he tells us that he is going to send in an expert witness. And in many ways, we're in this trial of life where we someday come face to face with God. And he asks us, what's your defense? Why should I let you in here? And there's really only one good reason. And the reason and the answer is because Jesus invited me. Jesus sent me an invitation. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I stand before you today. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, what's interesting is it says the world cannot accept this Spirit of truth, this advocator, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I've got a couple pictures to show you. And the reason I want to show you these pictures is because it helps us understand what we mean by the world not being able to see something. The first picture I have here is two pictures in one, actually. How many people see a vase? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you see a vase. How many people see two silhouettes? How many people see both now that I've mentioned it? If you don't see both, look at the black and you'll see the silhouettes. And if you look at the white, you see the vase. Two ways to see the exact same picture. Some people see nothing but the silhouettes. Other people see nothing but the vase. Now, let me show you another picture. Some of you are probably familiar with this. This is a picture of my wife. How many people see a beautiful young maiden? Raise your hand. How many people see an old hag? Raise your hand. That is not my wife. My wife is the beautiful young maiden. There are two pictures there. How many people can see both? Some of you can't. Now, if you're having difficulty seeing the young maiden, here's what I want you to do. Put your hand up and cover the mouth of the old hag. And you can see the jawline of the young maiden. And you can see the eye of the old hag is really her ear. And now you can see the young maiden. You see it? A lot of you needed assistance. In fact, most people seeing this for the first time need assistance. Very few people can see both the old hag and the young maiden. But with some assistance, with some guidance, we can see both. And what happens in life, what happens in our world today is that so many people are going through life and all they see is this one picture. They don't see the whole thing. And not until you call in the advocate, the intercessor, the paraclete, the counselor, the Holy Spirit of God, are our eyes opened. Because he gives us the direction, the guidance. He says, that's the ear, that's the chin, that's the jawline. And all of a sudden, our eyes are open and we see the reality of the goodness of God in so many things we would never have understood before. The world cannot accept him because they simply cannot see him. And what's interesting is the Spirit of Truth. I think, again, it's one of those words that needs greater clarification. In Hebrew, the word is aletheia. And I think a better translation would actually be a spirit of faithfulness, a spirit of trustworthiness, a spirit of steadfastness. Because we have to realize that no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter how lonely we become, no matter how far we go to be alone, when you think you're all alone, you're not. Because the Spirit of God is everywhere. And no matter where you go, he is there. Because Jesus has clearly stated that he will send us an advocate to help you and to be with you forever. And that he lives with you and will be in you. And so he's only a whisper away. A small little prayer. And the truth of God's goodness and reality will become as crystal clear as the vase and the two faces, as the old hag and the maiden. As God's love for you today. And so I ask you today to pray and to invite the Holy Spirit of God to come and to touch your heart and your soul and to fill you with his presence and his reality, to lift you up, to give you the guidance, to be Christ's hands and his eyes, and to be the body of Christ calling us all together. When you think you're all alone, you're not. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that today you have given us powerful words to live by. The conviction, the understanding, the realization that with you, we're never alone. You're always there. You're there to touch us, and to hold us, to lift us, to embrace us. You're there to continue to give us the vision and the insight and the realization that we are your children, called by you, and we are yours. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let me give a closing benediction. And now may the presence of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fill your hearts and your minds with the knowledge of his goodness. And may your life be transformed with the renewing of your heart and your soul to love one another today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Schrijven ze mij een pretje eigenlijk. Ik vind het heerlijk om achter dat scherm te zitten en dan mijn fantasieën te laten lopen. Ik weet ook nooit hoe het iets afloopt.
Mijn carrière wordt elders gepland. Die wordt boven gepland. Ik wacht dat wel af.
Ja. Dat belerende is er een beetje uit.
Mensen die geloven en die Christus in hun hart hebben gesloten, dat ouderwetse en ja, een beetje conventionele mensen zijn. Dat is helemaal niet zo.
Oh, nou, ik was helemaal... Dus ik bellen naar familielid van... Nou, je moet nu echt naar de Hour of Power kijken. Dit is zo geweldig.
Hoe sta ik in het leven? Wat kan ik voor anderen betekenen? Hoe kijk je aan tegen die samenleving? En wat betekent geloof daarin? Dat zijn essentiële vragen.
Ze nemen plastic tassen mee met sambaballen of met tamboerijn. Als je dat mee zou nemen, dan kan die kerk denken, die man is gek geworden, weet je wel.
Met die honderden miljoenen telefoontjes, hè? Waar ben je? Waar ben je? Waar ben je? Dat is de meest gestelde vraag. Nou, exact de vraag die God stelt aan Adam.
Tuurlijk is dominee Schuller een andere man dan bij wijze van spreken het dronken Jantje van de hoek die in de kroeg zit. Maar dat mag hij, maar dat is een verschijningsvorm. In wezen zoekt hij ook God in zijn leven.
Maar het betekent niet dat het weg is, hoor Jan. Mag ik dat ook zeggen? Maar ik heb maar een klein hartje, dat weet ik wel.
Hour of Power heeft in Nederland inmiddels in de afgelopen 10 jaar... zo'n 500 uitzendingen voor u verzorgd. Daarin heeft presentator Jan van der Bos de meest uiteenlopende personen geïnterviewd. Bekende en minder bekende Nederlanders. De gesprekken met maar liefst 50 van zijn gasten zijn gebundeld in het prachtige jubileumboek Zonder geloof kan ik niet functioneren. Deze bijzondere uitgave van dit jubileumboek is ons feestelijk welkomstgeschenk voor iedere nieuwe donateur. Via uw bijdrage, klein of groot, steunt u ons werk in Nederland. We zijn u daarvoor enorm dankbaar, want Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van haar donateurs. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588.
Ik vind het bijzonder dat iedere week weer zoveel mensen met zoveel invalshoeken langskomen om te vertellen wat hun leven motiveert, namelijk hun geloof in God. En dat geef je handen en voeten, zoals we hebben gehoord. En begin eraan vandaag. Tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. That I feel.